Concerns have risen, especially over the past year or so, that some freedoms in the U.S. are becoming restricted or limited to only a portion of the population. On the heels of that feeling comes the latest rankings by the Economist Intelligence Unit's annual Democracy Index. That index puts the U.S. in the flawed democracy category, the second out of four levels, the highest being full democracy. With me to explain is Peter Ceretti, an analyst with the Economist Intelligence Unit. Peter, can you explain first how the index works and what the criteria are?
Yeah, absolutely. So we score all countries that we cover on 60 different indicators that are related to the quality of democracy. That results in a score of 0 to 10, 10 being the best, in five different categories. So that's electoral processes, civil liberties, the functioning of government, political participation, and political culture. And then we average those scores. So countries that score above 8, between 8 and 10, are considered full democracies. And last year, the U.S. fell from just over 8. From 8.05 to 7.98. So it fell below our threshold of 8, and therefore it has fallen into the flawed democracy category. I should add that that scores similarly to a lot of other developed economies. You know, it ties with Italy for 21st place this year, scores similarly to South Korea, Japan. These countries are also considered flawed democracies in our index.
It's striking, though, that the U.S. is known for freedom, and to be 21st is, you know, kind of stunning in that sense. What are some of the factors that may have dipped us below 8?
You know, what we look at in scoring the index are trends that are linked to democratic participation. So things like trust in government, participation in elections, public opinion with regard to the country's institutions. And what we've seen in survey data over a period of years is that, you know, trust in the federal government and some of our country's institutions have fallen. That's been a result of things like repeated government shutdowns, lingering frustration over the financial crisis in 2008-09, polarization and gridlock in Congress. You know, last year there was some speculation that our scoring change was linked to the election. It really wasn't. These were trends that were long in coming, and we view sort of the anti-establishment politics that has brought Donald Trump to the White House as symptomatic of some of the problems with the quality of democracy in this country and not the cause. You know, in other words, you know, what we're seeing is longstanding issues that are playing out in sort of an anti-establishment discourse.
Are there trends that indicate that's the sort of divide that would continue? Is there something that would need to change to get the U.S. back into an area beyond flawed democracy? I mean, I guess some of them are self-explanatory, but are there any that really stand out?
It's obviously very close to the threshold, just below that, that the threshold of 8 that we set for separating flawed and full democracies. One thing that we highlighted this year in the Democracy Index was that polarization has increased in the U.S. That has led the social cohesion score in our index to deteriorate a bit. You know, if we saw less polarization between Democrats and Republicans in Congress and more compromise, that could help. President Trump has tried to reach out to some disaffected constituencies in this country who, you know, are some of the folks who very much liked his rhetoric of draining the swamp and taking on the establishment. So far, that has led to greater polarization. But if he's able to bridge that divide and to bring more of these people into the fold, you know, that could potentially help. You know, so greater participation at coming elections, less polarization in Congress. These are things that could help to instill greater trust in government and, you know, maybe bump the U.S.'s score up the next time we run the index next year.
And is there a have and have not dynamic that has grown recently? Does that cause some of this as well?
Yeah, you know, we do believe that that growing income inequality is one of the factors that has bred distrust in the country's institutions and has probably contributed to some of the negative survey data that we see on trust in government. That is probably making things worse and has likely negatively contributed to the U.S.'s score in recent years.
Because of some of the issues that the U.S. has been having that you cited and that puts us in that flawed democracy category, has that had a direct impact on some of our allies or even some countries that are considered adversaries? Have they benefited from the U.S. dropping in some way?
You know, certainly I think the U.S. has liked the idea of leading by example. You know, for a long time, we've seen ourselves as kind of a bastion, a pillar of democracy, right? And, the fact that our score is deteriorating and that the U.S. has struggled to instill, you know, trust in the institutions and political participation, that's certainly not a great sign for the U.S.'s continued leadership by example. I think one thing that the U.S. does do very well, and that sort of fits in with the theme of this year's Democracy Index, is freedom of expression and freedom of the press are, you know, pretty strongly protected here in the U.S. Compared to other countries, you know, our laws on on libel, on defamation, on freedom of speech and expression are still quite good. And that's an area where I do think where the Economist Intelligence Unit thinks that the U.S. leads.
Interesting, because that's one area where people, of course, President Trump likes to use that phrase fake news, which drives a lot of people crazy. And so that would seem that that would be an attack. But what you're saying is that because there are still sort of built-in freedoms there, and even some of those institutions have come sort of roaring back in some ways.
The best way to combat fake news is to put the real facts out there, to publicize them, to call out, you know, facts that are incorrect when they're being purported as being true. You know, we shouldn't be shutting down what the media says or putting limits on the media. We should be, you know, making sure that the actual facts are being publicized. And, you know, and that is really the best way to, in our view anyway, to foster a functioning democracy and a free and open society where the media is concerned, is to allow all to say their part and speak up when we see something that needs to be corrected.
Peter Ceretti is an analyst with the Economist Intelligence Unit. We've been talking about the group's annual Democracy Index.